Steph, we're very excited to have a special guest here today, a series regular for 4 seasons on the Oxygen Network show, Girls Behaving Badly. She's appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Third Rock from the Sun, and of course you know her as the voice of the talking photo booth on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Free souvenir photos. Welcome.
She's the gorgeous and talented Kira Sultanovich. I want to know how you got started in comedy, and were you always so vivacious?
Now, what do you mean by started in comedy? Like strictly stand-up?
No, I mean, what got you, like, were you funny when you were a kid?
You know,
And I know this is kind of hacky questions, but this is interesting stuff for people.
A lot of comics were. Some weren't.
I was not funny.
You were not funny as a kid.
No, I was quiet.
Oh, no. See, I used my humor immediately. I'm talking like first grade. To get out of stuff, to make friends, to avoid spankings, which as a Russian immigrant, my parents were like training for the Olympics. Did everything.
Do you do gymnastics?
I had to do gymnastics, of course. I played piano. I played cello. I did ballet, of course.
Are you good
I followed
at any of
the
those
Russian
things?
Immigrant handbook, and I'm terrible at all of those things.
Oh.
But I used comedy, and so I knew. I went to Hebrew Academy, right, in the first grade.
Why did they send you to Hebrew Academy?
Because as immigrants, I think they got like a Groupon, and seriously, like we went for almost free. I feel like the Hebrew Academy in San Francisco were like, listen, we got to let some Jews in that just got here.
Oh, that's like, right. Like a quota.
Right. So my brother and I were there, and I was, you know, always messing around, always cracking jokes, and not to be disruptive. I never wanted to be disruptive, but I wanted just to be like, look at me. Mm-hmm. I got something to say. So we'd be talking about, I don't know, the Ten Commandments. And I'd be like, 10? Don't we need just like one? Don't murder. Done. Right? Like I would like, and then I would be sent out into the hallway and I had my own desk.
In the hall?
In the hallway.
Oh, it had your name on it.
It was my desk. And I would be sent out there. And this is the first grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be sitting there thinking up bits. And the rabbi would open the door, and I'm not even going to try to do like his, you know, Yiddishy accent. He's like, are you ready to join the class? And I would do my bit that I was rehearsing. While I was out in the hallway, the entire class would erupt into laughter. The laughs washed over me like a warm, fuzzy feeling. And he would say, well, I guess you're not ready. And he'd slam the door in my face. But I was just ecstatic.
You were like, I did it.
I did it.
Yay.
And it was success for me.
See, I tried to do the same thing, but nobody laughed. And the teacher just threw me out.
So did you really have to sit out in the hallway?
Yeah.
Wait, I wanted to ask. So if that was first grade, do you speak Hebrew? You went to Hebrew Academy all the way up?
No. I got kicked out right after that.
Second
grade, I was in public school already. And I was thrilled.
Did you fit in there? Because everyone's kind of acting out in public school.
In public school?
Yeah. Wow. The kids were at the drop-off. When we drop off our kids, there were kids from the school with like little cups asking for money. Seriously, it was very.
Like, do you know what my property taxes are? And yeah. I gotta then give more money because you.
Yeah, it was very awkward. We didn't like.
He goes to a public school.
Public school.
Wow, I can't even imagine what they do at private schools.
Oh well, we have private too, but it. Yeah, we have fun. You know,
we save our money for ourselves.
Good. For
they always ask for money. No matter every email is about money. Every time you say hi to someone, it's about money. Oh wait.
You
just
have an issue with this. You're going on a little bit.
Can you imagine when the teachers start to go, look, little Johnny, he got to 5 plus 5. If you want to see 5 plus 6,
that's right.
Cough it up.
That's right.
Or else this is where he's going to stay.
Yes.
And that's how you're going to tell which parents are doing who loves their kids.
Yes.
It's like, where's your kid at the timetables? I don't want to talk about it. He's stuck at 3s.
That's right.
That's actually the name of the fundraiser every year, the annual fundraiser.
It's stuck called He's Stuck at 3s?
Yeah, and not, that was last year. This year it's Cough It Up.
Stop it. You know, this is what I have to look forward
to. Yes, you screwed.
Wow.
Yeah, I got 8 emails about, they go, we don't want to recommend how much money you should give, $15. We don't want to say, just give anything you want, $15.
No.
Like they write, I want to talk about circumcisions.
And drinking.
Can we talk about circumcisions?
Yeah, we need to talk about this.
That's a little painful for me.
No, but don't you remember?
You remember yours?
No.
He was drinking.
But I know somebody who had one at 70, which was, I'm sure, very
70?
Who is that? The skin was so hangy, they didn't even
have
to cut it.
My friend's uncle in Italy decided he wanted to become Jewish.
Stop it.
And they gave him a circumcision in Sicily.
Okay, well,
it's a Sicilian slice, I think it was called.
Oh no. They just put them in like the salami
slicer.
No, it's
true. It's really true.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's an awful deli joke.
Why? You don't have, your son doesn't have a circumcision?
He is. He's circumcised. Oh. Of course, I'm not an animal.
So you can't go back on that now.
I don't want to.
No.
So what's the question?
It's the granola crunchy tree hugger moms in Los Angeles.
Well, how do they know he was circumcised?
Exactly. What are they doing all up in his diaper?
That's right.
What are they doing up in his
business? Do they ever see his pee-pee and go, oh!
Yes, that's how they first found out. I was in a mommy group, and I happened to be changing his diaper. He was like 6 months old. And one woman, I'm like, get out of my baby's pants. Like, what are you all up in his business for? She gasped. She almost like took the air out of the room. She was like, oh, how could you mutilate his genitals like that?
Were you at a church group or something?
No.
Where are you? There's so many Jews here. What?
Yeah, she doesn't
yoga
have
mommy.
The Jews.
Oh, yoga mommies. I don't hang out with
she
a lot of
Jews. She needs Jews. I told her I'll be her Jew.
Everyone should
friend.
Have a couple You're Jews
talking.
In their life. Everyone should have a couple Jews.
I've seen one once on the TV.
I am their Jew. That's the problem. They're all like, we need a Jew. So I'm their Jew.
So you need a Jew.
I need a Jew.
Just like at your school. It's the same situation. You're reliving
it. Right. I'm going to show up to your kid's school with a cup saying, please put a Jew in my cup. Please. I'm collecting Jews.
That's right.
Oh, that's not good. You don't ever want to collect Jews.
So tell us about.
Wait a minute. So nobody gave you a heart. Your parents didn't give you a hard time for
honestly,
acting out like that? I want to know why you didn't get in trouble for yelling out stuff in school.
She did. She got expelled. She got thrown out.
I did. We left.
Yeah, but that just didn't stop you.
No.
It encouraged
no,
you on
no,
some level.
Nothing stops me. How I've been doing this for a long time. You get hecklers and bad audiences. That hasn't stopped
how
me
did
either.
Yeah, but at that age, a kid, like, I'm just talking about me.
Right.
I get shut down very easily.
Right.
If somebody doesn't laugh, and I say something funny, I won't say something funny again for another 5 years.
Right. And that's why you're not a comic.
Right.
Yeah, you
exactly.
can't take it.
Exactly. The only thing I really got from them, so if you can imagine, we had just immigrated to this country. So they see, you know, schools, like I got in trouble at my public schools too. Every school I went to, elementary, junior high, high school, I was in the principal's office. Every single one. And so what freaked them out more, they didn't care that I was a bad kid. They were like, listen, we do not want to have to leave this country. Like, they thought the government is calling you into their offices. And so they were like, do not make trouble. We are not citizens. Because we weren't citizens until I was like 8. That's when we turned citizens.
They were scared.
So they were scared. They were like, do not make trouble for us. We come here a very long way.
They must have been freaking out.
Yes. So that's why I got in trouble more because of like, they didn't want to
get
deported.
Did they punish you? Like, did you get punished?
I mean, they punished me by, you know, just being my parents.
Mm-hmm.
That was punishment enough.
Did they call, them into the principal's office?
Yes. And so every teacher that was sitting there next to the principal that was sitting there with my mom and me.
Oh my God, they must have been sweating.
Kira is she's very disruptive in class. And my mom would say, tell me about it. She's disruptive at home. I don't know what to do. You tell me what to do. So they were like, this is pointless because this woman, obviously,
she needs help.
She needs more help than we do.
Yeah.
So they would feel sorry for my, okay, we'll try to work with her. But I wasn't like, I never wanted to be a bad kid. That's the thing. So I've actually gone back to my high school and apologized. It was never, I didn't want to be like that douchey kid. I wanted to just entertain. That's
right,
all I wanted to do. And it might have come out wrong because I was an amateur, just like any open mic. It takes a little while to, you know,
develop
my act. But I never wanted to be obnoxious. I just wanted to make people laugh.
But you did do that. You weren't an amateur because you were making them laugh.
I was.
They didn't need
the
that
teachers,
in the classroom.
Right.
Because they're trying
so
to.
So who did you apologize to?
I went and apologized to a couple teachers.
Were they like, what are you talking
exactly,
about?
Exactly. Which I wish they would have said the opposite then I'm like, no. If it wasn't a big deal, then why did you make it a big deal back then? I think they either forgot or they don't care or they're old now.
Well, they had to make it a big deal because if they didn't make you an example, everyone would be like you'd have jugglers and people on
pony rides,
like
absolutely.
Unicycles.
Yes, a wild bear on a bike. Yeah, of course.
So they had
that
to
would have
something.
Happened.
They
no,
had to do,
I mean, look,
were you in plays and singing? Are you a singer?
Not a good singer, but. Yes,
but
they
acted.
You. Yeah, I was like in all the school plays and I try to do everything because I felt like everything I do, I have a new audience. So, you know, I ran track so I could make the cross country kids and the track kids and the athletes laugh. I did, you know, I mean, I tried to do everything because I was just always looking for an audience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
That's the name of my book, I think.
Always looking for an audience. I like it. That's good.
It's the truth.
And does that carry on until today?
Yeah. Why do you think I had a kid? My husband heard all my bits.
Listen up, kid.
I got to work out some new material.
Well, but
my husband's heard all my bits, so now I got a new audience member.
But are you integrating stuff into your act about
course.
The kids?
Of course.
Yes.
Why are you yelling at me?
Yes,
I didn't do anything to you.
No, when our 12-year-old says that's what she said now, we have a problem. Like, because I'm always like, that's
and
what
he knows
said.
Exactly when to use it.
It's that's like, hilarious. I go, we should stop doing that.
Now, I'm like, this thing is really hard and slippery. And he's that's what she said.
You know? Oh, man. And then he has that sound effect, boing.
No, he doesn't do something.
12 must be, is that just awesome or is it awful? Like, it's straddling both,
it's
right?
It's a little weird that our son is like bigger than us. His voice is changing, but he's still goofy and he wants to sit on my lap.
Oh, like, you know? Yeah. So he's.
And you'll also be very surprised that our public school that he's in mm-hmm. is very sheltered and very kind of behind.
Really?
Most of the kids in that school are sexually not mature yet, and they don't know a lot of stuff.
And you're complaining about this?
No, no.
How could you guys not be?
It is true.
Fiddling each other.
Talk to Stacy about it. I'm telling you.
Yes, there's no drug.
There's no drugs. There's no bullying. There's not a lot.
That's good. Well, why is that behind? That's actually forward thinking.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. What you would expect from LA public school.
But they know about sex.
There's no drugs. And
how do you know?
Well, there's very little because everybody knows.
I've been asking. I'm trying to score
I'm trying to sell it on the playground.
There's
there are no buyers, is what you're saying. It's the economy.
I'm telling you,
we're still trying to get out of this recession.
They're pretty good kids. It's also very small.
Right.
So there's like only two grade. There's only two classes of grade. So there's only two seventh grades.
You know already. Your child is almost two.
Sure. And he's lived
life. But you know what you get? You know what you know? What you know is how fast these phases change.
Right. Not
like,
fast enough.
For your first kid, you think everything's always going to be the same, but it changes every couple of weeks. They become completely new, different people.
Right, right. They do.
My son is 12. I looked at him this morning. He's 5'8". He's taller than her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's
I'm like, what the hell?
I'm 5'8".
I'm working on his bar mitzvah video. I'm watching him talking at 5 years old.
He's like, that
and that's how
teeth.
I see him. And then he walks in. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah, is that
it's
scary?
Weird.
Is that
get
weird.
Out.
Yeah.
It's weird. He has no little teeth. He's doing the video of them babies. Like, you know, Sammy. Oh. Sammy and him as babies. Just like me singing Twinkle Twinkle with no teeth.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And then he's
gosh.
Like, I'm like, and then now I'm like, please, Noah, put on deodorant. You're offending.
Oh, yeah.
You're offending me. You're offending others.
And a jockstrap, please.
I mean, I go, please wash your face. Please take a shower.
I mean, I just literally just changed his diaper. To me, I'm 51. 13 years ago was not that long ago for me. It's a blip in my life.
So enjoy changing his
and
diaper.
And take a lot of video.
Every time I do a celebration.
Video.
Not of changing his diaper.
Well, that's the thing with me. I think I have about 3 pictures of me before 2 years old because my parents didn't have a camera in Russia. And so
no Instamatic, nothing?
No photos except for in like a professional photographer studio. Or when we immigrated, we had to take green card photos. That's it. So now, that's this kid
you have
has,
that on the wall as a portrait? That
I do. This kid, my kid has a picture every time he blinks. I'm like, hold on. Let me see you blinking in slow motion. So it's almost probably,
overboard.
Well, we're overboard too because my parents have there's no pictures of them when they were kids either because they were all lost in the war. So they had no pictures. I have no pictures of my grandparents at all, of my father's parents. So it's, we're like,
But we have a lot of Noah and not a lot of Maya because she's the third and we're like,
We're like, listen, the oldest one can now work a camera. He's in charge.
Doesn't even know where the third one is half the time.
Where is the third one?
She's at school.
How do you know you don't have a fourth one? How do you know? You can't even be too sure.
Well, whenever she's screaming, because Noah's almost 13 and a 3-year-old's always whining in the house. And he's like, you had to have the third one, didn't you? You had to do it. He's
hilarious.
Because she's always.
Did you videotape your circumcision?
No.
Nobody. No.
They don't let you.
You didn't have a big party though.
No, we just did in the hospital. My OBGYN did it, but he's a Jew, so I feel like he's a moil.
Okay.
So it was close enough.
And it's good. It looks good.
It looks
good.
Amazing. Good. I have pictures of the penis. Good. Of course, I carry that with me.
No, here's them later.
I still honestly have a lawsuit pending against my moil.
Stop
but that's
it.
A whole other story.
What did he do?
No, I don't want to. I am not.
Show me on the microphone stand where he touched you.
You mean on a microscope?
No, he cut off too much.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's
okay.
Half of it.
You know what? You have a great personality. That's all
okay,
that matters.
That's all that matters.
It's
right.
True.
Right.
It's true.
Thank you.
You know, honestly, I was on the fence. I was not going to have him circumcised.
Really?
I was on the
what
fence.
What was your conflict?
My nephew, well, he was born in the Soviet Union as well, right? So we all immigrated, and they don't circumcise in the Soviet Union because that's religious, and there was no religion allowed in communism, right? So when he came to this country...
Is your brother? Is it
was circumcised, yeah. Later in life.
Oh, really?
And my nephew at 13.
Oh, at the bar mitzvah.
My nephew at 13.
They combined
he
it.
Had to get circumcised.
Oh, my.
Well, not there.
Why? Why?
Because they wouldn't let him have a bar mitzvah.
You can't have a bar mitzvah.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Yes, that's why the 70-year-old.
But they check on your pee-pee, though? Maybe you can lie.
They ask.
I mean,
you
look,
say yes.
Do you
what
really
are they
want
gonna...
to start your voyage into manhood with a lie?
Are you a Jew? Put down your pants.
They're not going to check your pee-pee.
But do you really want to start? Like, why have a bar mitzvah if you're just going to?
Because you're 13 and you want the money. That's why. We want some cash. That's why we're doing
it. Well, he's the only person, you know, that I could talk to that had it both ways. He's now 25. So I called him. Like, literally, like the epidural is coming, going into my back. And I called him, like, tell me what to do. The baby's coming out. And he said, look, when you're 13, you know what it's used for, right? You know, you understand the operating instructions. And I prefer it circumcised. Boom, that was it. We had the baby. We circumcised him. Because I really was on the fence. Because I, you know, you just...
And if you wanted to have a Jewish girl, you should have
him
circumcised.
Yeah.
Listen, these yoga mommies that I'm talking about, that like I had to leave that group, they were, you know, they're like all of a sudden like Jewkipedia.com. No, you're still considered Jewish even if you're not circumcised. Oh, no. And I'm like screaming and yelling like Anne Frank in the attic. But I'm a Jew. I'm not even that Jewish. But I started like just, you know, waving my Jew flag because I thought anything to get them off my back.
Mm-hmm.
But they're intactivists. That's what they're called. Intactivists.
What is that?
Intact. Keeping it intact.
Activists who are for
intact
keeping it intact.
For your body?
I know. Intact? I did
not
know.
Keeping your penis intact.
About your penis.
Right.
See, so, I don't have any granola friends because they exercise and I'm against that.
Right.
So I stay away from them.
Yeah, a lot of yoga, a lot of hiking.
Them. Yeah, no.
So they're into breastfeeding, obviously.
Yes, very breastfeeding.
And vaginal births.
Yes. Which I did all those things. So that's, I'm not for or against anything, honestly. Again, there should be one commandment. Just don't be a douchebag. That's it. Like, just be a
I like
person.
That.
Well, that's the main.
That's a good,
so
that's
whatever
a good...
you want to do. You want to breastfeed? Great. You don't want to? Great. You want to have the baby out of your ear? Fine. If it's healthy,
well,
who cares?
Well, the problem is that people think that their way is the right
judging.
Way. And
judging.
Then they become militant about it, like vegetarians. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Leave me alone.
Unless I'm beating you with the bone from my prime rib, how does it affect you?
Right.
How does? And yes, they say, well, the cows, they release methane gas and it affects the whole world. Listen, if it wasn't methane gas...
Stephanie releases methane gas.
I'm very
all
gaseous.
The time.
She's going through
very
the change.
Gaseous.
Stephanie.
Give her a break.
Have the changes.
Give stop
her
it.
A break.
Sorry.
Hey.
He loves fart noises. He's very mature.
He
can listen to fart
noises.
Can you just wait till the show is over, please?
What was that?
He
what?
Could
you
listen
need to erase, delete that one from your
that
iTunes.
One?
What?
That was a
same?
Big poopy, I think.
Oh,
might have been.
That?
Yeah. Is that a poopy?
I thought it was the same circus one that you used earlier.
Yes. So, but the thing is, do you want? Are you gonna? Are you raising your child Jewish or not Jewish?
We don't know. My husband's Catholic.
I know. That's
yes.
a problem.
You know,
but
a,
are
what
you
do you mean
gonna,
it's a problem?
No, I mean...
Because it comes with Catholic in-laws.
Yes, and they
yeah, but
they
how have, long are they going to be alive? Are they,
you know,
they're young?
They're
not
God
that,
willing.
They're not so old, like your parents. But no, so you, are you going to have a bar mitzvah? Because then it matters with the pee-pee. But he's
right.
already
but circumcised,
so it doesn't
I don't
matter.
Know. I don't...
Do you want
I don't
all...
Know. It's kind of too...
Do you want the Jewishness to die with him? Is that what you want?
No, but
Why are you giving her a hard time?
Here's what it is, honestly.
She is causing, we have to make up for those 6 million Jews.
Yeah, but you're being just as militant about.
You had three or four. I don't know for sure how many kids you have.
I'm sorry, I got into a little
Jew. Is your hamster circumcised?
My hamster, no. He's not going to be bar mitzvah, though.
He's not.
There's a dog.
No.
The dog likes me.
Oh, the dog is here?
The dog has passed out. He's smelling my feet, and he's passed out right underneath my feet, and I feel terrible.
Is he bothering you?
You know, the thing is, that I kid, but really, like, this was a concern, because I didn't grow up religious at all.
Right.
At all. My parents didn't celebrate the holidays.
I think just being from Brooklyn, though, it's just automatically you are an uber Jew.
Her parents were, her grandparents were ultra religious.
My mother.
And they lived in a neighborhood where not everybody was religious, so her parents.
My mother went the other way.
Felt jealous of all the other kids.
Yeah, she wanted cheese on her hamburger.
Right.
She, they were from Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn.
I feel like I know where that is.
Yeah, and it's where all the Jews
where all
are
the
now.
Jews, yeah. The Russians are big Russian.
Yeah, that's what I'm
big
saying.
Big Russian population. And I, and so she went the opposite way. So I grew up with nothing. All my boyfriends were on
But they
Jewish.
Were also, but they were militant about it. And yes. Which made the, her,
her parents.
Her
right, right.
But then because his parents are Holocaust survivors now.
They wouldn't tear toilet paper on Saturday.
Can't turn on the light. You know, all
so
the
what
things.
If your kid's school needs toilet paper on Saturday?
That is not
then
our
what
issue.
What do you do?
It's a problem.
Those are the non-Jews. Bring it. So, but, so I was really concerned, like, if we didn't do something, it would be lost.
And right. Because that's nonsense. When I
because his parents are Holocaust survivors, I felt guilt.
Right.
A lot of
when
guilt.
I met her, she didn't care about any of it.
I was tearing toilet paper constantly.
No, but you didn't even care about Judaism, really.
No, I didn't.
Time.
I was.
I said I want to send our kids. If we have kids, I want to send them to a Jewish private school. What are you talking about? I don't want them going to Jewish school.
I thought that was insane, that idea, because I was so not Jewish.
Well, you know, I got a book from a friend of mine. You know, people always give you like clothing when you're a baby, old toys, books, right? They're giving you some stuff that, you know, to recycle, to be crunchy, to be granola.
I like that.
And
nice.
One of the books was about Jesus, a little cute little kid's book, you know, like the hard, whatchamacallit books, whatever.
Hardcover.
Thank you. Like the kids for like really little kids. So they can't rip the pages.
Picture books.
Yeah.
This book
and so my husband was like laughing, you know, he's Catholic. So it was a nice little Jesus book. And recently I got him a dreidel book.
See?
Not because I'm Jewish.
You want to be even.
I just want to balance it. And plus, it's cute because it's like a little spinning dreidel on the book. So every time you turn the page, you spin the dreidel. It's cute.
I know that book.
But it's more, it's more like, not because I care. Honestly, I don't care. I don't think my husband would raise him Catholic because my husband went 12 years to Catholic school. So that cured him of that. So he's not religious at all anymore, which is awesome. Honestly, I love that. And I'm not either. So I don't know. I really don't know. I think that just like be a good person.
Right. You don't have to raise a child in any religion today.
Yeah,
it doesn't make them any different from anybody else, really.
Right. I think though, because I missed it. I missed something. I feel like, and I'm not saying, I just feel like they should have something.
Right.
You want to go Catholic, go Catholic.
Or
you
both.
You
want to
go Jewish,
both,
go Catholic.
You could,
both.
You could give them the best of both.
But I feel, I do feel like I missed that.
Right.
Growing up.
So now you're like living vicariously through your kids. You're like, instead of a stage mom, you're a stage Jew.
A little bit.
And you're like pushing them like, go, have a Nagila.
Not too much, though, because I can't handle too much.
Sure.
I can't handle too much.
I guarantee you, I'm probably
I don't make challah.
I'm more Jewy than you probably, but because your kids are older and they're in the school.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know,
what do you mean more Jewy? Oh, like brought up, you know more about it.
Yeah. I went to,
Totally.
I went to Jewish camp. My entire life.
She had
and then
nothing.
I was a camp counselor.
Yeah.
No.
So, you know, I can sing the
they
song.
They didn't even go on the high holidays to shul.
No.
They didn't, did nothing.
Nothing. We had a menorah that was electric.
Which that's the most
believe,
that they did.
I
that was
believe
it.
You.
My boyfriend, I had a Christmas tree. All my boyfriends weren't Jewish.
We had a Christmas tree too.
Yeah.
In Russia? No.
No. In San Francisco.
They have Jews in San Francisco?
A couple.
Listen, I was very un-Jewy. So if you told me that my kids would be Jewish school, I would be like, you're insane.
Right.
I thought he was insane. I go, I don't belong in Jewish school. I don't know anything about.
And I was going through training at that time, like with Chabad, and I was trying to learn stuff because I didn't have a great upbringing either. And so I was like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be cool if I raised my kids Jewish?
I was like, no.
And then I was talking to different rabbis, and they're like, drop her like a hot potato.
What?
You don't need to marry her. What are you doing?
That's offensive. I'm offended by that accent.
Shut him down. All right, so here we are.
So did I tell you my father-in-law once... Oh,
sorry.
My father-in-law once got me a little doll. I told you, right? Did I tell you guys earlier when I got here? This little doll, like, he gives me these, like, little anti-Semitic gifts.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, with, like, it's like this little rabbi that dances. And then once he gave me
I've seen that rabbi at dances.
He gave me like they went to Disney World, right? Disney World. And so he got me a Mickey Mouse with a yarmulke and like a tzitzit hanging. Like, you have to go out of your way to be that anti-Semitic. Like, you have to really like make it a mission. Like, all right, kids, no rides today. We're going to find the Yid Mickey. I mean,
I've never even seen it.
You can't even buy that in the gift shop. You have to get it on the corner,
right,
I think.
Right, right.
I so, never saw that before.
Like, that kind of stuff kind of bothers me. So there's a part of me that's like, you know what? I am going to raise my kid Jewish.
Just to get
just
back
to
again.
Throw it in their face.
But do you think he does it because it's a nice thing, or you think he's trying to be, like,
I'm sure
in
he
mind,
thinks in his mind it's nice. Like, it's like, oh, he appreciates. But to me... Like, if I was...
A Jew to a Jew could do that, but a non-Jew to a Jew...
Or if someone that's not so Catholic. But if I was, like, Mexican, and he got me, like, this little Mickey Mouse that, like, you know, works outside the Home Depot or something. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be very offensive.
Right.
But yet it's okay, because I'm a Jew, because it's not like, oh, they don't think of Jews as an actual...
As people.
Well, like, you know, like,
well, with feelings,
we're animals.
Well, it's like, okay, maybe if you're Israeli, maybe, you know, that's it. But like, they just think of Jews as like these kind of like amoebas that just kind of shift and go around and incorporate their lives with other people, like that. You know
and
what I
own
mean?
Own studios,
right? Exactly, and then run the world.
I'm not an animal.
My thing is this: are you doing this to him because you think he's doing it to you on purpose, or because he's just anti-Semitic and he doesn't even realize that he's anti-Semitic?
I don't, they're very good people, all right? Just in case they're listening.
Don't tell them about it.
No, they are. They're very nice and they're very kind and generous. I don't know if they're doing, like, they give me these little gifts, which, by the way, I think they stopped because I think maybe my husband said something. But,
how would that have gone? That conversation.
Him saying something?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he did, because they're Catholic, so they don't really communicate with each other. Seriously, like, they don't say anything. They suppress everything. So I don't know. Maybe he didn't say anything. Maybe he just kind of dropped one hint and then...
Stop with the Jew stuff.
Right, that's yeah.
And maybe pass that's... the salt.
Right, exactly, yeah, exactly. Like, which, by the way, my mother-in-law will come to our house, speaking of salt, and she'll ask me, Kira, where does Mike keep the salt? As if I'm some roommate he found on Craigslist. Do you know what I mean? That happens to live with his grandson and her husband. I mean, her son. Like, what do you mean? Where does Mike keep the salt?
It's my salt.
Do you understand
too.
That I pay the mortgage?
I bought the salt.
Do you understand that I bought the house that the salt is in? Like, how does it
that's hilarious.
Turn into Mike's salt? So it's funny that you said that.
That's funny. Now, I want to know what happened after high school. Then, like, what? How did you get into comedy, or what? Was your...
Well, I went to school.
Because girls
the
aren't normally funny.
Right. Girls are not funny,
they're
actually.
Not funny they're way all. Less funny than no. men.
Right. And so...
Men are hilarious.
We have to work twice as hard.
Right. Especially Jewish women.
Yeah.
Well, Jews have it just tough in the comedy world. But I went to a performing arts high school. So, School of the Arts in San Francisco.
Oh, so that's
still
right.
there.
So and what you wanted to perform?
Yes. Yes. What part of earlier in the story did you not...
No, I mean...
We just thought you were acting out.
We thought I was a bad kid.
You know what it is? I'm just... Oh, I relate everything to me. And I,
right.
And I
right. Which you should, Greg. You should.
I'm trying you didn't really hear what you said.
I know. I heard everything she said. I'm just trying to understand it completely.
Right.
And what I'm trying to understand is nothing got in your way of wanting to perform.
Yes. I mean, I asked my parents...
And you were encouraged.
Yes. Again... I was encouraged in an immigrant type of way, which is not like what you would think of now, like maybe how you guys, well, you guys probably don't encourage your kids, but like
no,
other
we
parents
don't, we don't like them.
Might be like, oh, whatever you want to do, we are here to support you. It wasn't that. It was like, hey, mom, I want to sneak into a comedy club in like Ghirardelli Square. You know, it was called mm-hmm. Cobbs, the old Cobbs mm-hmm. at the Cannery in San Francisco. I'm 15. You have to be 18 and over at the time. I want to sneak in with five of my friends. So it's not an encouraging, supportive thing. It was more like, oh, yeah, I like to break the law. It was more like that. You know what I mean?
So,
like,
my mom. So what
she said, okay,
she
I'll drive you?
Of course.
Oh,
there you go. See?
See what I'm saying? So it was supportive, but in this, like, backwards Russian, like, who cares about the rules? Come on, let's go.
So what happened to her fear of the government, that whole thing?
Oh, we were citizens at that point.
So they didn't care. They were like, we're free. We're fine. Let's just go. Yeah, let's we'll go. Do whatever we want.
Now we get parking tickets. We don't care.
Screw the government.
Right. So we went to Cobbs and they said, everyone has to be 18. And my mom goes, everybody here is 18. And they were like, and who are you? I am the mother of everybody. Literally an
I'm
Asian
calling my
friend.
Parents to yell at them right now.
I had like a black friend with me.
So that's what I'm talking about.
And then my mom left. She's like, you guys have fun. I come back, pick you up. What time? Like midnight? Okay.
Wow.
And so, do you know Rich Scheidner?
No.
Yeah.
Rich Scheidner he was really huge in the 80s. Yeah. He was like, he wrote on Roseanne. He was writing a lot. He had his own shows. He was headlining that night.
Oh, wow.
And I've told him this story, by the way, which he was like crying, laughing. And we were having so much fun. And of course, he saw these young kids. Mm. Like, how did you guys get in here?
You were in the front row too?
Well, we were like, not really the front row, but yeah. And afterwards he came to talk to us. Mm-hmm. We were sitting because there was a restaurant connected to the club. And he came and he hung out with us and we were sitting and hanging out. And at the time I was like, this is so awesome. But now as a parent, I'm like, that is so dirty. We were 15, Rich.
Ew.
You're disgusting. So I told him the story.
How old was he then?
Oh, like 40s. A gaggle of 15-year-old girls. He's like, hey, let's hang out.
But, come to my house.
That's the kind of thing I knew when I was 15. And I knew when I was 12 or 13 and I saw Eddie Murphy. I snuck into a movie theater with my friend Rachel Dan.
Oh, you saw Raw?
Delirious. Raw was much earlier.
Oh, okay.
I was too young. But Delirious came out second and we snuck in. We said we were going to buy a ticket for, like, you know, My Little Pony or whatever. And we snuck into his movie and it just changed my world.
Really? Okay.
That was it. I was like, whatever that is, I still don't understand what it was, but whatever that is, because I'm only 12, I didn't really get that that's like a job. Mm-hmm. I want to do that. However I can do that. But honestly, it took me a really long time to actually get on stage to do stand-up. I didn't do it until after college.
Huh.
Yeah, I was still really...
So you were into it all along. You continued to go to shows, to clubs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In college, I went to school in San Diego, so the La Jolla Comedy Store. Saw Bobby Lee. You know Bobby Lee? Mm-hmm. I saw him performing. I was like, well, if this guy can do it. But I still didn't get up on stage. Still
didn't.
Were
you scared? How did you decide to get up and what was your first time like?
I didn't understand how people... So what do? They write this stuff down? Like, I didn't get it. It did not sink in. How do they make the jokes? Like,
so you didn't think about it all along, how they did it?
I just didn't get it. No one sat me down and said, this is how you write material.
Did you think about how... Did
of
you go,
course.
I wonder how they do this?
Yes. But there were like a couple books. I started reading books like in college, like some comedy books and some stand-up autobiographies. And I think I saw like an Ellen DeGeneres book. Mm-hmm. And I found like some... You know, a Robin Williams autobiography. So I was like reading up on like, oh, so they went to comedy club. Oh, I get it. And I started to piece it together. But it's.
Did you take a class? Like they have all those classes.
I took a ton of workshops and classes. I did all those Groundlings type of classes.
Yeah, you went
too.
You were in Groundlings.
Yeah, I did. Well, I wasn't that's in the company,
but
I was still
improv.
Went through the school. Yeah, yeah. I went through like so many classes.
Improv is so great.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I wish if I had improv, training. I would be really interesting.
Would I?
I'd be really funny.
I would.
You're improvising those sound effects.
Yes. Do a fart one. Go.
But you know, I never did well in the Groundlings because, not that I don't work well with others, but I knew that I wanted to be autonomous and you have to like write with other people.
Yes, and crap.
Like all that. But like you have to sit down and like write a sketch with two other people and it's just like, listen, if you guys aren't pulling your weight, I might as well just do this on my own. And that's a whole different world than stand-up.
And
if I
want to
try something new on stage, I can't just say something new in a sketch. They're all gonna like hate me and give me the stink eye.
Yeah,
you know,
that's not good.
You gotta, but as a comic, I want to change a joke around the last second.
Do whatever you want. Do it. Say whatever you want.
I've even done that on TV, which they kind of frown upon. They want to know what you're going to say word for word. I, on my Showtime half hour special, I did crowd work.
Oh,
I did. Who does crowd work on a special?
I saw you talking to those two bald guys in the front row.
Yes, because it freaked me out. When you see two bald men together, that can't be good. There's something going down.
There's cancer.
Why? Why did you come? Why did you arrive together? And so I did. I did. I talked to them because I have to. That is like a sickness of mine. You've seen my shows. Yeah, I have to talk to the audience.
Yeah, no, she's
it's
been through
fun.
That too.
I love
they
it.
They
right.
say that, you know, certain situations you don't really do crowd work, but
I do it all the time.
And the more they tell you don't, the more you want to.
The more you want to. Yeah. Right.
Because it's hard to not do it when you're there.
Right, right. Or the more they tell you it has to be squeaky, 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 squeaky clean. Just in the back of your mind, you're like, I want to say the word motherfucker. Can I say that with you guys?
Yes.
Oops, okay.
Yeah. Yes,
so you have to... There are more rules. So right. I was never good with rules.
Right.
I'm still not good with rules.
And stand-up and rules don't really go together.
There are a couple.
Like, don't set the club on fire.
Don't set the club on
don't
fire.
Don't take your clothes off fully. Even take them off a little.
Don't be a douchebag.
Don't be a douchebag.
You said that earlier.
That's a commandment.
That's more of like
that's
just living your day-to-day life. Yeah.
So you did, the first time you did it was college. Where were you when you did it the first
LA.
Time? L.A., where were you?
At this little coffee club in the valley called The Kindness of Strangers.
Really?
Which I think is just
that's so
a
nice.
Very ironic Aww. Name. Yeah. And
were they kind?
That's a funny
Yeah, do
name.
You know Vargas Mason?
Yes. Yes, yes.
He was there. He was there. I'll never forget. He was there, and he was killing. And I was like, oh, man, this guy's not an open micer. This isn't fair. This should be only open micers.
I know. When you're new, you
yes.
get scared. That
and
people...
I went up and bombed. It was awful. I did terrible, cheesy, terrible, just the worst jokes.
How did you come up with this stuff by yourself?
Yeah.
You didn't work with anyone in a class?
No.
You just go, what was my joke? How is Dr. Spock and Mr. Spock alike or something?
Are they related?
I had no jokes. I had questions.
Questions,
they
sure.
were premises, really. If
sure.
now when I look at them, they were all like... premises. And I called them jokes.
My first joke was, well, I just got back from the doctor's office and it's official. I'm eating for two. I have a tapeworm. That was my big
one.
That's pretty good.
Oh, come on.
For a new one?
Oh my,
new,
my tag was, I don't know who the father is.
That's funny.
But I think it's a bad burger that I had in Tijuana or something like
that. See?
No.
That's good.
Cheesy.
But for a first
that.
Joke?
First joke, it's not
that's
bad.
That's very good for a first joke.
But
I love
no
it.
One laughed. No one laughed.
Really?
You guys, I got more laughs here
wow.
than I did that.
But it also may have been,
night.
You may not have been comfortable.
I don't think
I
your timing,
the
timing probably was
right.
yeah. good.
And you were probably freaking out. And
you
all
weren't
that.
Confident in the tapeworm.
And what's no, the tapeworm bit is strong.
It is. I think you should
I
try
went
it.
With a boyfriend at the time who did like all of these, what I call Monopoly jokes, board game jokes, where it's like, remember Monopoly? Yeah. How it always ends like, you're cheating, grandma. It's always like these like cheesy, like, remember that game this?
That's
remember
like Judy Carter's. You know what makes me mad? That's how you write all your jokes.
Right.
You know what makes me sad?
Well, he did great.
Oh,
it was
really?
His first time on stage too. He killed. He goes, this stand-up thing is easy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then of course he never did it again. And then
and your tapeworm took off.
And my tapeworm, that's how I opened my Showtime special.
I think you should. I like that.
Can
that's
you imagine if I did it again?
Then.
If I did
You can now, say that's your first joke.
Bring,
it's funny.
Bring it back. Laugh Factory on Wednesday nights has old joke night.
Really?
You bring back your old jokes.
That is cute.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And
I like that. I have my father's.
Do some comics not want to do that, maybe?
I mean, I'm sure that they probably have dropped them, obviously, for a reason.
Right.
Because they were awful.
Like for her, she just loses them.
I just can't find them.
Yeah.
Because I
she
write
loses
them
my
down
pants
and, I just,
and she loses her joke. Here's Kira on her Showtime special talking about her mom and how her mom is superstitious.
Do you know what happens if you whistle in the house? Do you know what happens? Oh, of course, you should know. All the money get together, fly out the window.
I love that.
And then a monkey will rape you. That doesn't even make sense. No whistling in the house. And then if you leave the house and you forget something, oh, you can't come back inside to get it. Are you crazy? Something bad will happen to you. What do you forget every day on your way to school when you're a kid? You always forget something. Your lunchbox, your jacket, something's going on. I would come running back home. My mom's freaking out. Don't you come back in the house. I'll drop it to you. From third story. I would go to school with like zipper lacerations. I had a gash in my eye from my lunchbox. I'm so glad I didn't go back in the house. Oh my goodness, something bad might have happened. We're back.
All right. Okay. I just want to say this. I could do it on a different show, but I got to just put this in. My parents were so not supportive. So I'm just jealous. That's all. Oh, my God. First of all, I was embarrassed because they had accents, which I can't.
My parents have very thick accents.
I know. But I guess it's the way I saw it. I thought my parents were different. My parents also felt different. They felt like they didn't fit in.
Right.
They felt like they were prisoners.
Where are they from?
They're from Poland and Czechoslovakia.
Okay. I see. So where were you born?
I was born in New York.
Okay.
But, you know, they came after
the war. That's the difference. That right. is the difference.
They were when prisoners. You're
well, yes, of course, their background is very different. But when you're born here, you are not constantly told that you are an immigrant. And so I feel like my friends that were born here, but their parents have accents and were immigrants, they feel like, oh, this is embarrassing. I feel so different. But I was always told, we all came together. You're not from here either. So I never felt like, I just felt like, well, I'm like them.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, don't have an accent.
Okay, now I understand.
Oh,
and
that
plus, anytime I said I wanted to do something, my parents would say, Jews, don't do that. We're
right.
Jews. Jews don't play the drums. Jews don't tell jokes. Jews don't do
Jews
those types. Whatever.
Drums.
Oh yeah, Jews don't drink.
Jews don't drive. You know, Jews don't drink. Jews don't drive.
So what they did was they took their fear.
They beat him
and
down.
They put it on you.
Yeah,
because that
completely.
Was their fear of like, well, they everything. Never did anything because look at their life. Their life was just survival.
Right.
Right. So they took that and they said, well, no, just don't do anything.
And not only could they not tell a joke, they couldn't speak out loud or ask for food, or they would get shot or beaten or whipped, or the dogs would be let out on them. So
right.
they could not be expressive in any way. For me, it was just a dream to always be expressive, but I never could do it.
Right.
Until I got to be 50 years old and I built a stupid little studio in my own house.
Oh man, we need to get a therapist in here.
He's had work. He's
somebody
done work.
Help me.
He's done work.
This is
with a lot of work.
I absolutely understand what you're going through, it all makes sense.
You have a paper bag I could bring.
He's hyperventilating. He's having a panic attack.
Here's what we have to remember, and as parents, and looking back at our parents, they worked at their capacity. They did what they could do with what they knew. Because trust me, I have a lot of issues with my parents.
I'm not blaming them anymore.
Of course. Anymore. Good.
Right.
That's good.
You've done. Today. Today is the day.
Today. Now, if there was some sort of Judaic rehab, would we all be in it? Absolutely. Until that day, they don't have a 12-step program for Jews. We got to just figure it out on our own. But yes, I can understand
right.
how. Yes.
We're not going to stay here all day, so let's cut to
but
the
we
chase.
Could. I know we could. I know we could talk forever.
Sleepover.
As a matter of fact, I couldn't have any as a kid. Because
sleepover?
Yes, because my parents, it freaked them out. They didn't understand the concept of everybody sleeping on the floor in one room. I'm not kidding you. My dad was like, this is why we left Russia.
Yeah.
Like I told him, I want to order pizza. I want us to like eat out of Chinese food boxes. Like that's what was cool to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, then we should have stayed in Soviet Union because that's, we all lived in one room. We all slept on the floor. And I actually went to our little one room studio apartment in Lvov in the Ukraine and saw it.
Oh my God.
We knocked on the door and the woman that lived there let us in. Yes.
You have a brother too?
I did. He passed away.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, that's why when you said your father had a heart attack at 48, my brother had one and passed away at 38.
Wow.
Did he have any indication whatsoever?
You know, that's the first question people ask me.
Because we want to know for ourselves.
Of course. You know, it's hard to say because a lot of men will have medical issues and not talk about them. Or try to, it'll go away. This is hurting me.
See, right. I tell you that.
No, that's different. But then I thought there's also people who don't feel a thing and don't
did
have any
have
inclination.
We think he did, but he just didn't really, because he did change his diet and he started to exercise more. Oh. He wasn't overweight. He was not, but like 10 years ago he smoked, but he hadn't for 10 years. Huh. I honestly think stress. I think that's the number one killer.
So it's like a sudden thing?
Yeah.
What was he stressed about?
My sister-in-law.
Oh, he was married.
Yeah.
They have kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my nephew was 12 at the time.
Wow. Oh. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
When was, how long ago?
9 years.
Wow. You don't talk really about it ever, do you?
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean... No, I mean, like in situations like this, of course, but not on stage because what do you say?
Yeah, there's nothing to do with that.
I mean, I've tried to like
fit it in,
maybe not even do a joke about it, but like I'll do jokes about my brother, but I won't say that he's passed away.
Right.
I make
I
it like he's still
too.
Alive. Yeah.
No.
About my brother, you do that too?
About her parents.
I talk about your brother and his bitchy wife. I do that all the time.
She still talks that her parents
are alive. I say my parents are alive.
Because there's a lot of material.
But they're not both of them?
No. They passed away. And they will always be in my act, alive.
Of course.
Until I'm 80. And they're,
it's hilarious.
So because they're going to go,
if your parents
are
still in your alive in your act and until you're 80, then that's
I hope
that's
I make
really
it.
Impressive.
And it's a tribute to them, too. They loved coming to the
My father
shows.
Loved it. I made fun of my father all the time, and he thought it was hilarious. Like, he loved it.
All right,
it.
Let's get back to Kira. Right.
Enough death. Enough
please,
death.
Can't we make
but
it about
But I didn't know that,
me?
And I'm
please.
Sorry about your brother. I did not know.
Well, thank you. I know. It's one of those things.
Now, how old's the boy, his son?
Are you
now?
Close to
now,
him?
Now, he is 22.
20, are you close with him?
No.
No.
My sister-in-law would not let us. That's it. She cut it off.
Why?
Because
she's an evil
Where
person.
Do they live?
Maybe she
San
killed
Francisco.
Him.
Maybe.
She drove him crazy.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Oh, it really
that's
does.
Funny.
You maybe he'll reach out to you, or you could reach
my
out
nephew.
To, yeah,
it would be nice.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Would you reach out to him?
You
tried.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you ever,
successful?
Do you ever go to the Long Island Medium like Stephanie does?
No,
I love mediums.
She loves talking to her dead parents.
I should take you. You could
wait,
talk to
but you.
You
talk to the Long Island one?
No.
Oh. I go to someone here. You should come talk to your brother.
Wow, what if he
it's
doesn't
awesome.
Come through?
He'll come through.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
If you pay enough, he'll come
right,
through.
Right, exactly, yeah.
No, really.
Does she work for your kid's school, too?
She brings toilet paper.
If you pay enough, it'll all
she
happen.
$15. Okay.
Wait a minute.
What?
So, okay.
Greg has a syllabus.
I'm the one who's running this thing, not you.
All right,
look,
go ahead.
He has some issues
you're
with his parents.
He has control issues.
You're
go
the
ahead.
Cute one.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I was talking to Kira.
Okay.
So bad, you guys. You guys are cute.
At least this is my laugh.
Wait, I still need that paper bag. No, seriously. So let's talk about the photo booth.
Yes.
So I want to talk about Girls Behaving Badly first. How'd you get to that?
Honestly, I just auditioned. That was it.
And you want to know something?
I love that show, too. Loved it. When you did the baby store?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Stop banging.
Did you see that? You have to watch the baby store.
No, I saw.
Oh, my God. With the ball in the mouth.
The ball gag?
Oh,
right,
hilarious.
Right. My favorite is the hamster wheel to calm them down. You put them in a little hamster ball and roll them
that
around.
That was before you had kids, so you didn't know how much true that was.
So no how do you audition for a hidden camera show?
I just did my stand-up.
Oh, yeah. No, but don't they need
try to find
you,
me.
They need you to be able to be, to like act.
Look, they
like
hire,
really act and not have and not crack up. And it's just like with the photo booth.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard.
You can't break character.
You cannot. And they had about 8 girls that they hired. We took press and photos and all these promotional things like with 8 series regulars.
And they dumped them?
And 4 left.
They were laughing? Oh. They laughed too
No,
much?
They just, it There's, wasn't for them. They just,
couldn't.
You don't know until you're in that situation.
Whether you can
And
do
then it.
It
was just myself, Chelsea Handler.
From the Girls Behaving Badly, did stuff come from
What was great about that was I could start headlining.
Ah.
So I would headline clubs, and that was great.
Right.
Because now all of a sudden you have, you know, like some time to, yeah, and some time and some space on stage to really, you know, spread your wings. And I work the road a lot, and I went all over. I mean, all over the world, country, everywhere. So that was great from Girls Being Badly. And of course, other things like the Tonight Show head writer called me in. They really weren't having auditions for the photo booth. They just called me in and they said, look, here's what we have. We have an idea. What would you do with it? I told them what I would do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of
why do you
it.
Think they called you in? Because of...
Because of the hidden camera experience.
Right. Okay.
And you have to
Which
be fast.
Which is unique. I mean, it's very unique. There's not that many people that you could say have done that.
I have shot 6 hidden camera shows. Uh-huh. It's like I'm almost pigeonholed now.
I'm not complaining. You're the female Alan Funt Jr.
Right.
Peter Funt. What's his
exactly.
name?
I think it is Alan Funt Jr.
I think there's both. I think there's
Oh,
couple,
there are two. Couple. I don't know.
The heirs to the candid camera fortune.
But yeah, so I just went in and I said, well, here's what I would do with it. Again, a hard thing to really judge until you're doing it. How can you audition?
You can't rehearse, practice.
No. Well, the whole day is a big rehearsal. We shoot for not an entire day, but for like, you know, 6 hours.
So now your life has changed, obviously, since then in terms of traveling
I
and
don't
being on
travel.
The road.
No, I can't travel as much. I have like a 3-night max minimum away from him at a time. And that's
because of your husband or the kid?
No, me.
Oh, you.
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Have another one. You'll have
and
a
I'll
week
have more.
Max.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't even know how you... I can't even imagine. I can't... complain because I only have one. You guys have 3.
But you know, it's all relative because I remember having one. I was overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, everything is a big deal. But then when you have 3 and then 2 go away, you're like, 1, this is amazing. You know, like, so it's all the same.
But you didn't even want to have kids.
I wasn't.
At first. She was like, I want to work in my career. And then my father, you know, the Holocaust
got, her
got a hold of her.
That Holocaust.
Stephanie, get into bed with me right now.
You have big hips, so birth many babies. No, so yeah, it's changed, right? In terms of...
Well, I got more, I'm getting more writing gigs. I've been writing on a couple shows.
Oh, that's cool.
Doing like some...
Can you say or...
Is I wrote on a show on Disney called Prank Stars. It was hidden camera.
Oh. It's how amazing how they pigeonhole you, but it
Yeah,
makes
but
sense.
You know what? I went on as a consulting producer for the pilot. And I wrote the pilot for them. And then I was in it. And then the show got picked up. So I was,
you know,
so then I did a season with them. And then I actually pitched a show to Disney and they bought a pilot from me. And
nice.
We shot it. So
Very
I wrote
nice.
And EP'd that. So that was nice. It like allowed me to stay in town this entire year. I mean, I have gone on the road. I've done like a little bit here and there. One-nighters, colleges, of course. Mm-hmm. But I don't do the clubs like I used to. I mean, I would be at the clubs every week.
So but are you happy with that direction?
Of course, I miss the autonomy of stand-up on the road. I don't miss the road part. I don't miss the La Quinta Inns and the cheap rental cars. But
La Quinta's not that bad.
It's not terrible. Are you guys sponsored by it?
No, but I went to a La Quinta once and I was like, this is pretty nice. I mean, the one I went to.
Sure. The one that was called the La Quinta Four Seasons. I helped write and produce this show with male comics, actually.
Oh, really?
Alex Raimundo was one of the hosts.
Uh-huh.
And Ben Morrison was one of the hosts and a couple other guys. One was like local to Atlanta. And I helped them develop. It was great. Like, I love that. I love that other side of the creative comedy world, writing the scripts and working with the talent. That was great.
Well,
that
that's
was great.
Really good because you're so funny and you're so outgoing and you're so interesting that it's great that you can carry that over into.
I would be thrilled
behind the scenes.
I would be thrilled. Again, I would still do, I will always still do stand up.
Right.
But to stay in town more to be with my kid is fine.
All right, let Kira go.
All right, thank you for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for the mouse pad.
Find out where Kira's performing at kiracomedy.com.
Thank you.
Stephanie's life is meaningless.